There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Oof.
Oof.
It's just me and Bo because we are post-coital right now.
We're post-coital. We have post-nut clarity, joy. We didn't have all the time in the world with our guest. By now, you know, it's Michelle Yeoh. You're looking at the title.
Unreal.
The app. You know, she's been doing days of press for this movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which you must see if you haven't already.
Ugh.
And in fact, we do get into some spoilers. So just if you're listening now, just know, you know, maybe hold off on listening to this episode. Please go see the movie first.
Yeah.
Implore you, because we really get into, you know, we really talked to her about what it was like to work on this. And It was just such a special conversation.
It's really, I mean, this is, I think, one of my favorite moments we've had on the podcast. Not
Likewise.
Only because, you know, she's such an incredible icon of screen and just like cinema history, but also she was a very real person.
Yeah.
And I think that she had a lot to say that like really resonated about how she prepares and how she's never stops learning when she's on set. And she just really a very grounded person. And you wish that someone like her gets her due like this. You know
you
what
really
I mean?
You really do. You really do. And it's that, you know, classic thing where at this point, you know, this is something that Matt says all the time, which is, can anyone else do this role? Can anyone else do what this actor does in any given project? And we definitely feel like that's not the case with Michelle and Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like the role was written for her. There aren't that many Asian female actresses who can pull off action in a sci-fi comedy, who can pull off physical comedy as well as martial arts. Like that is like, I've listened to her talk about the nuance and the difference between physical comedy, which she's never done before, and martial arts, which she has, and like how much fun it was for her. Anyway, we're really just like soaring from this interview. It was so fun. It's a little bit tighter than usual because of the time constraints we had, but so much fun.
I mean, it's just unreal because I've seen the movie now twice, as you'll hear, and I'm so overwhelmed because it's that thing, Bo, you know, way back when we first met the people that we all met and like you had a feeling about certain people and then find out it happened to be true. So Stephanie Hsu is like our old friend from college. Like, I think we probably all met when we were like 19.
I was 18.
Yeah. So Bowen is famously a little bit younger than us, which he just mentioned, which was not rude.
Not rude.
At all to mention his young age. But Stephanie is literally one of those people that you meet and is
and you're
just
like,
such
oh my
a,
God.
Yeah, she's truly limitless in terms of what she's able
That's
to
the
do.
Perfect word.
I'm also really happy that she got to show off her beautiful voice in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's everything. I mean, and it really bowled me over, Bo, because I'm realizing that like those people that we had a good feeling about from way back actually that was true. You know, and how lucky to be in the orbit of some of these people. I mean, this is such a incredible performance, and all the performances are amazing, but I have to like sit here and Tally as well.
Tally.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to see it to believe it.
I texted you right after I saw it the first time. I was like, Steph is going to blow your fucking mind.
And you know what's funny? It's like, first of all, this is like the most Steph movie of all time. Like, if you know Steph,
really
like,
is.
From everything, from like the chaos of it to like the bagel, I was like, Steph found the Steph Shu movie to do. And maybe you know Steph from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, or you've seen her on Broadway. She was in SpongeBob and Be More Chill.
Be More Chill, yeah.
So people are aware of her, but now they're going to become super aware of her. Just watching my friend.
It's crazy.
You know, because she was there. Like, she does all these different things, but she was there the whole time. And I was like, in this amazing way. You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh my God, that's Steph.
I know. You know, she always says like, oh, I gave up on comedy because the hours were crazy and she had other things going on. But like, she was doing Political Subversities. It was the show in New York City, like at the same theater that Pop Roulette did shows at. Like, Steph is just one of those people that you would like kind of run into all the time and be like, oh, what are you working on? And to see her do this is really incredible. And we're so, so, so thrilled.
We must have her on the podcast, and I'll sort of mention some stuff to her then, but I'm just thinking back to like conversations we had in college, and truly like such a, like a great friend. And yeah. I'm sitting here, I'm emotional. I'm so emotional about the movie because of the messages in it, but also it's just really special to see someone that you care about who's so talented.
I know.
Be able
to do
that.
And so full of love and always was supportive of us.
Ooh, sorry.
Like, she would, we shared a couple days on set together at Nora. This was right before she was about to start
shooting.
Yeah, because
the Daniels directed that episode of Nora?
The Daniels directed the flashback episode of Nora from Queens where, you know, it all, like, it's grandma telling Nora, like, her story, and it all kind of gets shot in the style of, like, a C-drama or a K-drama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then that's where the Daniels like met like Harry Shum Jr., who's in the movie.
He's so good in the movie too. Oh my gosh, he's so good.
So funny, so great. I've never been more excited to support a project that like I had nothing to do with, which sounds so disgustingly vain. But it is weird when someone's like so hyped for something that like, in our business at least, like it's someone's hyped for something that like they had no part of.
Yeah, but we need more of that.
I know. I totally agree.
I because I always feel like that's how we get interesting.
Yes.
I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just like, I mean, that's really what I want this podcast to be anyway, is I would love, you know, that's so interesting talking about it like 300 episodes in, like what we want it to be. But I guess that's a good sign.
No, yeah.
That like, you know, now that we're able to have access to someone like Michelle Yeoh, like it's so mind-blowing. But I do think that, like, especially nowadays when people aren't necessarily going out to the theater, like, I'm happy, like, that like, there's things out there that are, there's really challenging things out there available to us that we can go see. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to New York next week, and I'm going to see 5 Broadway shows. And I haven't done that in years, but I think there's like a renewed interest in me and like seeing things and absorbing things. And I think that's like a really important thing now that the world is opening back up, as I knock fucking wood. Mm-hmm. But like, you got to get out there and see stuff and then share what you loved about it with people. I mean, I know that's like a simple, maybe like, you know, sort of stupid thing to say, but like, tell people what you like. I mean, like, and I guess that's what is so...
This podcast is.
That's like this podcast, and that's what I want it to be. And that's why I feel like, while this feels like a crazy episode for us, because I never in a million years, Bo, when we started
neither.
This on fucking Mercer Street in New York, thought that we would get to the point where we could have Michelle Yeoh on our podcast. But now that we can, it's like, I'm so excited because I genuinely feel like I can't express enough how this movie enriched me.
Likewise. And like, there aren't that many movies that I can like rattle off that have like had such an effect on me. Like, I didn't even get to say this to her. I watched that movie. All I can think about is my mom. And that's what I think about. I think about my mom all the time when I see Michelle Yeoh in movies. I remember going to Crouching Tiger with my mom and being like, wait, she kind of talks like my mom does. And like, mm-hmm. she has the same sort of like warmth and energy and strength and whatever. Anyway, I'm just talking about my mom now, but with Everything Everywhere All at Once is literally the story of this woman who's like, what if I had done things differently? Mm-hmm. And my mom, in her loving way, she's not saying this in like a way to like give me an existential crisis or to like throttle me into that kind of crisis, but she always is like, you know, I think about all the time if I had stayed in China, like I would have been this very successful doctor. I would have, not had you because you're the second child, because, you know, back then it was one child only. Like, and she, it's a very common thing in the immigrant experience, at least, not to make it specifically about that, to be like, what if
it's very much about that though.
No, but it's a universal thing. Like, everybody walks this earth going, what if I had done things differently? What right. if things were different enough that were out of my control? You know, like, everyone is in that space all the time, and it's the perfect concept to bring into a multiverse movie. It's just so, I loved this movie so much.
It's so smart on so many different levels, and it's also fun. And yeah. it's moving. And oh. it's because the thing about this film is, and we should just say, it's also wild. I mean, like, it's a truly crazy movie, and you'll be asking yourself, what the hell is going on?
You've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. And then it becomes clear. But the thing is, while it is so expansive and so ambitious and so audacious, it's also very simple in terms of the story.
Yes, yes.
It's actually just about a family trying to come back together, and it's about realizing what you have, and it's about understanding possibility but embracing reality.
Yeah.
And it's just so good.
It's about accepting whatever reality you're in.
Yeah. And noticing.
I fucking love this movie so much.
It was so good. And also, especially, and blah, 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 but in a time when everything is a sequel or, you know, a franchise movie,
yeah.
like, you gotta go out and support this movie. Like we say in the episode, like, put on a mask if that makes you feel better. If you haven't been out to the theaters, like, this is the movie to go see.
You won't regret it. You really won't regret it. It's not the kind of movie that you'll be like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, no. No. At the very least, you'll have a strong reaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't it fun to go to a movie and potentially hate it? I don't think you will.
You won't. But also, like, I don't know, like, it made me feel all the feeling. I mean, I did not just say it made me feel
Girl,
all the feels
is it
in 2022.
2011? Yeah. All the feels.
But that's like, it's just, I don't know. It really transported me back to, like, I don't know, maybe even feeling like that childlike thing of, like, going to the movies and something just is completely new.
It's movie magic. And she
it's movie magic, bitch.
Not to spoil the interview. And, you know, if you haven't skipped all the way to when Michelle Yeoh starts talking, God yeah. bless you. Thanks for listening to us talk. But she gets into that, like,
yeah,
movie magic. Like, it's this thing that's kind of hard to come by, especially I felt this way before I saw the movie. Like, I feel like I've been a little desensitized, just a little bit desensitized to, like, the viewing experience or the intake or consumption of something that I'm watching.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, in bed watching it, like, from a TV or an iPad, or, like, it's right. sedentary, it's passive. Like, there's something so literally activating about this movie that you watch it and you cannot help but go, oh my God.
Yeah. That sensory overload that happens in that atmosphere.
Yes.
That is not replicable at home.
It really isn't. Unless you have, like, you know, a crazy Dolby setup or something.
Unless you have a crazy Dolby setup. Honey, you're not going to get that experience. It's rule of culture number four. Unless you have a crazy Dolby setup. Honey, you're not going to get that experience.
Honey. Anyway, do we have anything else to say?
I have nothing else to say. I'm, like, so tapped from this conversation. Like,
yeah,
I'm just excited.
I'm so excited. She was so generous with us. Just was so honest.
She was giving ponytail through a white baseball cap. Hun.
Girl, can we talk about, I guess people know this already, but a hard reminder needs to be set that, like, this is a fucking style legend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Glamour icon.
Glamour icon. She just came out with her Interview magazine photos where she looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The ring in Crazy Rich Asians is her ring.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard the story?
I think I actually do remember that.
Like the props, like, because the ring is, like, a plot point. It's like the young ring, and it's like,
wow,
the Eleanor Young ring. And it's like, they, like, did, like, a pretty generic looking, but still, like, you know, like, something that communicates wealth or whatever that this family has. But she came onto set, or she saw the ring for the first time. She was like, no.
I have one better.
I have a collection. She has... This woman is, like, very unassuming in a lot of ways. But also, I'm just reminded of the fact that she is married to the former CEO of Ferrari.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, this woman knows fucking lavishness and luxury. Mm-hmm. And yet she still is, like, such an artist in her way. And, like... Yeah. Doesn't, like, would never let that show, like, doesn't let that inform anything about her in her work. I know that's a weird thing to bring up, but I just, I'm obsessed with that. Like, she's a fucking glamour. She's like, it feels old Hollywood. It feels like so fucking, oh, I love it. It's so luxe. But anyway, it's her ring, that giant fucking emerald. I don't know what cut of diamond that is, but so beautiful.
Anyway. Yeah. This was, I mean, we're doing the fluffing of the century here. This foreplay that we're doing with the, the readers. I say, let's just play the episode. You're going to hear us ding dong again. The intro is very short with her. I swear to God, we're getting to Michelle Yeoh very, very, very soon. This feels like when you're about to get on the roller coaster, but like there's like a technical problem. It's like you waited for an hour and then you get there and they're like, we're experiencing technical difficulties. And you're like, fuck off.
Right.
But with no further ado, Bo.
Let's welcome
Michelle fucking Yeoh. Ah!
Come on.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Oh, Bowen, it's a moment in time yet again.
What was the last movie you saw multiple times in theaters besides Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I would have to go back.
But I can't remember like a movie that I was immediately excited to see again. You know, like
absolutely.
That hasn't happened, especially in the theater, especially like pursuing the IMAX experience of it all. I was like, I have to see this on a giant screen with a bunch of people.
I will say this. The last time I saw a movie repeatedly again and again and again was A Star is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, which I famously did see four times opening weekend. Now, that does not mean that I wasn't equally moved by this new film, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I've seen twice this week in the theaters. And I know Bowen has as well. And I have to implore all of the readers of this podcast, everyone out there, to get to the theaters to see this. Bowen, I know you were just as excited as I was.
I was. It's the superlatives are there aren't enough. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think I told you immediately, our friend Stephanie Hsu is in it. We went to college with her.
We can't wait to get into this.
We can't wait
with
to
our guests.
Talk about it with our guests. So there's really no need to introduce her in any meaningful way. She's truly a legend in cinema. In so many ways, just we're so inspired and privileged to have her. So please welcome
Michelle Yeoh!
Hello, absolute
queen.
Oh my
God, what an introduction to Everything Everywhere All at Once. I love you boys already. Well done,
oh,
especially
Michelle.
Because you are friends with my baby girl, Stephanie Hsu.
We went to college with her. I did sketch comedy with Stephanie Hsu. I first met her as, you know, the hilarious, funny girl who could do anything. And then as I got to know her, I realized how she's so good with drama, musical. She's a completely insane person. She's everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah, absolutely.
She is. I mean, she is amazing in this. She's amazing, full stop, in everything.
Yes.
So you are very lucky to have met her at the early age. And I can't wait to see all the amazing things that she will continue to do and have the opportunity to do.
What was it like to set up that relationship and to sort of ground that into something that was very... very convincing, because by the end, I mean, Matt and I have talked about this. I never cry at movies, and I did cry multiple times. Both times I've seen it, especially in that last scene. We won't spoil it, but there's a last moment with you and Stephanie's character Joy, between Evelyn and Joy. Like, how did you? What was the process like of just getting into that relationship?
Okay, but first of all, I want to say thank you for you two having given the shout out about going to the cinemas to watch this movie. Mm-hmm.
It's a must.
It is a shared experience. And hello, Matt. If you don't watch it more than four times, I'm coming.
Okay, I know.
Hey, excuse me, Lady Gaga, step aside. Okay.
Yes.
He is going to say to Brad, oh, move out of my way. Yeah, come on.
If anyone can do it, it is you, okay? Absolutely,
100%. Much as I love that movie, this one is unique. It's different, right?
100%.
And right. It is like the primal way of our ancestors, where you sit under the stars and you have great storytelling. You have to see it in the cinema, because that's when you devote yourself to that magic of filmmaking. And it's like you don't want to go on a roller coaster ride by yourself.
No,
right?
Never.
This is like the most incredible roller coaster ride that you're going to have in the cinema, and you're doing it. You have to do it with people. You have to do it with your friends, your family, and strangers. And the most important thing is like having conversations afterwards.
Oh yeah.
On all the different issues, whether it's the mother and daughter, the father and daughter, the husband and wife, just a relationship. Look at the two antagonists, the Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
The tax auditor who is like the, you think the scariest person, but who is a real human being.
Yes.
Right.
And you need, and you don't want to be left out of the conversation, do you? When everybody is like, have you seen this movie? Do you know what we're talking about? And God forbid you're like, no.
It is that though. It is a cultural moment. And I really do believe that this movie is going to be something that as more people see it, as more people talk about, it is going to become a cultural conversation because it's unlike anything. It's unlike anything.
It is. The Daniels are just, I call them my evil geniuses
because
they had the audacity, the courage to put it all on paper. You know, it's like five genres of film in one movie.
True.
Right.
And
right.
They took a very ordinary, totally unsuccessful immigrant, Asian, aging woman, immigrant, who is trying to pursue the American dream with the love of her life, came here to the complete disagreement and disapproval of her parents, especially of her horrible father. I'm sorry to have to say that. But it's almost like a vicious circle. It's like, that's how you are. You understand that your parents want the best for you. They tell you what to do and you should do that. And God forbid you disobey them. And it's like when she sees her daughter, that is the one of the core of the movies is this mother-daughter relationship. And you're right. Stephanie and I found the bond. We didn't have, you know, we are an independent film. I only arrived in January. We had 8 weeks to shoot this.
8 weeks?
37 days.
Wow.
You know, there is a union. We can't work like constantly, like 24/7, right? So we... But every character from Stephanie, myself, Ki Kwan, Jamie Lee Curtis, James Hong, especially the Daniels, every character was completely invested and knew who they were. I've seen this woman on this. We've passed by this Evelyn Wong.
Yes.
When
yes.
we go to the supermarket or if we're in Chinatown, we see the mothers, the aunties, the grandmothers, where they are weighed down by the responsibility of keeping a family together, keeping a business alive, you know, doing what is right and helping the family survive. And she, you know, she doesn't walk straight. She literally waddles her way through.
Right.
She is wading through all these like problems and things. What is the American dream? It is tough. It is so tough. But the Daniels have given her such a strong voice to highlight and to tell her story and give her an opportunity to be a superhero. Because at the end of the day, we believe in love. We believe in our family. And we will never give up on that. And that journey needed to be told in this way.
This is something I've observed, and I don't know if this is what maybe jumped out at you when you first read the script, but I feel like in your career, you've portrayed power in such a wonderful way through so many ranges of, through such a wide range of things, whether it's, you know, Eleanor Young or, you know, Star Trek with, you know, Philip George. But it's like, I mean, you know, or even in Tomorrow Never Dies, like, I feel like the Michelle Yeoh in her roles up to this point has been about portraying a woman in power, which is wonderful. But this is someone, you look at Evelyn and this is someone who is vulnerable at every level, socially, economically, emotionally, physically. Did you recognize that to be something unique and different immediately? Because you're right, like this is a woman we've passed on the street who is basically invisible to a lot of people. Like how did you dive into that vulnerability?
That's a great question. Thank you for that. You know, it's very, I think at the beginning of my career to show, because we were all the Ming Vas, the Asian woman is like the fragile, you know, needs to be carefully catered to and all those kind of like whatever, the very stereotypical indication of what it is to be an Asian woman. And for me, it was very important to be like, no, we're not that. We are the mother, we are strong, we're independent, we are in control of our lives. And it's a choice to portray and give a voice to that because we cannot be seen as the victims only.
No.
But with Evelyn Wong, she's not a victim.
No.
She is trying to be the strong, the successful, and all that. But life has beaten her down in every turn of the way. And that's the reality that's around us. It's not that everybody gets to be successful, even though they give it their 100 and 200%, right? Unfortunately, that's the reality of life. But to be able to say, yes, she is a failure at so many things that she does, but every failure becomes, it's an impact on our lives. And we have to learn to be, to learn from that and be stronger with that. And I think for Evelyn Wong, if she was not open to be always trying to be better or do something, she would not be able to go into these multiverses and tap into that and have an open mind. And I think that was what that really attracted. Yes, because we are all flawed characters. We are all flawed human beings. And in the beginning of my career, playing the strong, you know, more dynamic characters were important because it empowers you to believe that you can do this. And now it comes to a stage where it's like, I want to give the people who are not seen, right, the chance to have a voice and say they can have a different life too. And the Daniels have given us a perfect opportunity to say, well, guess what? In a science fiction world, we can, you know, because you're going to be able to go into all these kind of worlds and see what could have happened. But what do you choose? That's very important.
That is, I think, and I'm actually emotional even thinking about this. But what moved me so much about the film was the message of choosing each other and, you know, even in seeing the vast possibility in choosing the love in your life and in noticing the things in your life that have actually given you the strength that you didn't know. Because even though Evelyn acquires skills, she and she's able to tap into these different universes, it is her the whole time. And she is the soul that we're with. And she is the person at the end of the film who makes the decision that she makes. And I cannot remember being more moved than towards the end of the film when there is a specific montage with Key's character.
And
I just want to say, Michelle, like, there is so much power in the way that you receive that. You are outstanding in this movie. I mean, it is an outstanding, I will say it, Oscar-worthy performance. I know it's whatever, but this is the kind of thing where I just don't think there is another person in the world that could do this.
No.
And when I tell you how moved I was, it had so much to do with Key's performance, but also the way you received that. And you can see the character realizing so much about her life, her reality, and what she wants in that moment. So just that message, I think, is so important, you know, in showing the beauty and the love in a life that's big, but also a life that feels quote unquote small. And so was that something that jumped out to you in the script and made you say, like, absolutely, this is it?
Oh my God, now you're making me emotional.
I just am so moved by the movie.
No, I think what it is, it's like, because when you read it, it resonates.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, with a husband and wife relationship, any relationship is continuous work.
Yes.
And sometimes we get sideswept, bogged down by the things, problems, and all those kind of things. And we start looking at the other person and like, why couldn't you be better at this?
Mm-hmm.
But then we forget, why did you fall in love with this person?
Yeah. Not
to change him, right? You love him because he's a little dorky. He knows how to find like joy and beauty in the most horrible places, and he's trying to instill happiness, and that was why you loved him in the first place. And you were ready to you abandon your family, your parents, to go in search of a new life because you love this man. And I think sometimes we get lost along the way, and I think what happened was, like, it didn't hit her until when she saw the divorce papers. It was like, what the F are you talking about?
Yeah, but losing it became real, and then it was,
right, but that was his point. It was like, I don't really want a divorce, but I think this will force you to stop because it happened to somebody else, it stopped them to think, it's like, do you really value this relationship? And if you have lost complete respect and for the man or the woman and the relationship, then yes, maybe it's time to step away, because you don't want to hate each other. Because right. it's a very fine line. But if there is real love, then you have to fight for it. You have to fight for each other, and you have to continue to do that. I think where the Daniels were very, very clever when they wrote this is the emotional thread between each character with the
characters.
Even like the simple, you know, when Jobu Tupaki and Stephanie comes out with all these like amazing costumes.
She looks incredible.
She looks amazing. But I looked into the her eyes and I see the longing of, I'm looking for my mother.
Yes.
I'm not, you know, I, even though my mouth says nothing matters, your eyes don't say that. And that is what I see from that, what bonds us together, because that's what Evelyn is seeing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know how sometimes children, they say the worst things. They're like, oh, I wish you're dead, or you're blah, blah, blah. Or sometimes parents say it too, because I wish I never had you. It's like, what? Come on, don't be so ridiculous, okay? But you say things you think to hurt each other because you want them to feel the hurt you are feeling.
Yeah.
And then you just take like silly things at each other. But that's where, you know, when you are working with someone like Key and Stephanie, who we look at each other and we see love. And we know this is where we have to go. Because if you don't believe that you love me, nobody else is going to. You know, your eyes are, as an actor, the eyes are the windows to someone's soul.
Yes.
And I believed in Evelyn Wong, as Stephanie believed in Joy and Tupaki. So, you know, when we walk into in that, even though she's like flinging those adult toys around, yes, what the hell? And that's the, where the geniuses of the Daniels are. They put you in the most unapologetic raunchiness, silliness, or whatever, because you are thrown off balance. Your head is getting like messed up, like Evelyn Wong.
Right.
And then they pull the rug from under you and they watch you fall, going, ah,
evil genius.
Evil genius.
But this is something, this is like the opposite end of what you've always said that, you know, martial arts scenes are, which is there's always drama and emotional stakes to any fight scene you've done. And even with, even between these characters, even though there are all these insane visuals going on, there's still that dramatic core, that thread between these two characters that like makes you, you can't take your eyes off of it because you understand what's going on some
different
emotional
level.
Yes. A different level, exactly.
I mean, the emotional curve for these two women, they're fighting. You know, it's like with Jobu Tupaki, she thinks she's trying to kill this woman that's her mother, right? But she isn't. She's testing her to the limits. It's how much do you actually want me?
Yes.
Right? It's like our children test us all the time. From the minute they know how to crawl, they test you to see who you're, right? That's what we do. And that we do that with our friends. We do that with the people that we love, right? You don't do that to people that you don't know, because what a waste of time, right? But you test your limits. You test each other's limits constantly. But does that mean that you love that person? That's why you are testing the boundaries. That's why you're, you know, how much more can I achieve from this? And even with the fight sequences with like the lay brothers, you know, with the butt plugs and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's all about survival. Mm-hmm. It's all about that. And what I loved right at the end, you know, when I was doing it, it was like, I open my arms and I fight
For love.
At first I was really like, what the hell are you two boys trying to do? It's like, how do you fight for love? That's a very interesting thing. How do you say, I'm going to now not fight you with the physical, like, you know, you're coming at me with knives and bombs, you know, the whole staircase.
The sequence at the end.
The other alphas is like they are ready to kill me and ready to kill Evelyn Wong. And she has the Google eyes and she suddenly realized all the googly eyes is all about love and joy and this. But how do you present to them? It's like, I'm not going to fight you with my fist. I'm going to embrace you and fight you with love. So we were standing there going like, how do you do that? How do you present that? Well, I guess I would just go, I love you. Come with mama.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Culture family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. This is something, you know, we are in the industry, so we know this, but these films are shot out of sequence.
And so
that must be a real mind F for you to sort of like, you know, have the script and you're reading the script and then you get a shoot schedule. And that is something that is also really impressive about your performance, is it all feels extremely
continuous.
Specific emotionally and continuous, which has to be incredibly difficult because you could be shooting one scene that leads into another at the end of the shoot, the beginning of the shoot. So what was your process for keeping that line?
I am going to post on my Instagram very soon my script.
Oh.
How I normally work a script. It's like I tag, you know, when you get your script and I tag them, which are the scenes I'm appearing in. If it was an action sequence, they get a red tag. If it was a very heavy dramatic one, it gets like a blue one. So, you know, you work it out. And then because you have to see as the character, you see the entirety of the script, right? Mm-hmm. And that will tell you the emotional arc of where you're going or whatever it is. I think one movie that I had was as challenging, but not quite as this, was The Lady, where it spanned like 20 years of her life.
Oh, right. Sure.
And like you say, we don't do it,
In order.
In order. You never do. I mean, for so many reasons.
Yeah.
So you have to know that if you go into the 80s or then the 2000s, what is the mindset? Where are you going from your hair, your wardrobe or whatever that helps you recreate this moment? But with everything everywhere all at once. It is everything everywhere all at once. You're some hibachi chef. Then you're like, well, what? Okay, I'm like back to this universe. And then I'm jumping into the jail. What? You know, but when you see how I have tagged, I am in literally every scene of the movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Emotional arc goes wugga, 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 gee. So goes sideways, up and down. And
everything, everywhere, all at once.
It really is insane. And the amazing thing is, like, even though she goes into the other multiverse, Evelyn is still Evelyn Wong, right? She
gets there,
she sees what this multiverse is about. She doesn't live that multiverse. It's not like his character Wayman, when he is
can travel, right?
But in that universe, he is who he is, like the CEO. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know about the other universes, so he is very contained with who Wayman is in that universe. But with her, it's like she sees this as like, why am I here? And can you imagine when she went into the hot dog universe?
Right.
Nightmare antagonist, Jamie Lee Curtis, who's Deirdre Dum-dum, whatever her name is. Like, you know.
Deirdre Bobeardra, I think it's her last name.
Deirdre. And he is suddenly her lover and coming at her with these like hot dog fingers and wanting to hug her and kiss her. Like, don't touch me, you know? And that was the amazing thing about the whole thing. It's like, first, you have to know your script. I am like Stephanie. She is brilliant with ad-libbing and, you know, she is quick to change and do
extremely
something.
Extremely funny. She's right off the skin. She always has been.
And I say to her, don't do that to me, okay? I'm not going to make up lies. Not happening. We have to, there's certain guidelines that we're going to do this.
Absolutely. I'm sure she listened.
Oh, yeah, she did.
She got the point.
Yeah. So then it's like when you get into all these things, one thing I always say to my Daniels, you are my anchors, right? Because we are going to be jumping from here to there all these kind of times. I'm going to look to you and say, okay, are we pasta? Are we rock? Are we whatever? I'm at the urn. It's like, and because it's intercutting the whole time.
Yeah.
The two geniuses know exactly where they're going with Larkin, our DP. And I think at the end of the day with Paul, our editor.
Oh my God.
They had it down to the T. Like the action sequences. We don't have much time to shoot it, right? We have like a day and a half or 2 days maximum for the entire sequence of, you know, the thing and that and the butt plugs and all those kind of things.
Yeah. So
they have to know what they need. And if we have time, they can get a little bit more. But they first have to shoot what they need.
I can't believe from like an art direction and set decoration standpoint that this was shot in 8 weeks. That is crazy. That must have been like stepping into a completely different film every day.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what grounded us was the IRS building.
Ah.
We were very fortunate. You know, when you're an indie film, you have to be creative. You have to know where you can save the money and, you know, put it where you need to spend it. And so with this abandoned IRS building, it grounded us because we shot 6 weeks there.
Yeah.
We
could
build this place. You could build little sets and things like that in there. So we had a place to go to, which we were familiar with. I mean, it was a huge place, but it helped us a lot.
To sort of have it centralized in some way. And I heard this great story from Ki Hui sharing, having his dressing room next to Jamie Lee's, but Jamie Lee never being there. And then he finally was like, why aren't you ever in your dressing room? And she was like, even with her career that spans decades, she goes, I never learn anything in the dressing room. I always learn everything while I'm on set.
Because, she's amazing.
Jamie, she is fat. Ugh. She's not just an amazing talent. She's not just an amazing actress. She's an amazing human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thoughtful. She's generous. She's always giving. And she's always learning. And that's what we all need to do. It's like you wake up in the morning and not think, I know everything. So why don't you just go back to sleep then? Right?
Yeah.
The whole process of being alive is about learning and experiencing and being there. And Jamie is going to, it wants to direct her own movie.
She should.
Oh, she will. You know that she will. I mean, she has children's books. She has her own podcast. She has so many things. She's ever, ever inventing and creating and things like that. So the next step for her is to tell her own story or direct her own film, right?
Absolutely.
And
right.
He's right. What is she going to learn sitting in the, you know, if she has, she's, and she's always out there because she loves people.
Yeah.
Always watching. And it's, sometimes it's not fun. It's like, the legendary Jamie is watching your performance. Like, why don't you just go back, have a cup of coffee? And
yeah, come out. I know, right? Take a break, just Jamie Lee.
Chill out. But, oh, but our friend Tally Metal is plays Stephanie's girlfriend. Oh my God.
She's so wonderful in this.
Bravo. Bravo.
Oh my God, so bravo.
She really, that relationship, that she has very, very little lines, but it's not how much screen time you have. It's what you do.
Impact.
When you have that. And she 100%. Has such a beautiful presence.
She does.
That expressive eyes and face. She doesn't have to say a word, but you can, you know. So that's exactly. Why it works. It was so well cast in that way. She yes. gave that brilliant performance.
She was saying that you were so, so kind to her. You were so just curious about her life. You made her feel so at ease. And I just, I read that. She you know, she posted this to her Instagram and I just got so emotional. I wasn't surprised that you were gracious, but I was like, I mean, yeah, like you're the star. You're setting the tone and the environment for that kind of project that is so ambitious. And I don't know. I just think that's so special that you and Jamie Lee and Ki-Hui Kwan just being like these three people who have seen various sides to this business all coming together, kind of like handing it down to another generation of people.
No, not handing it down.
We're not sharing. Handing it down. sharing. I'm sorry. Well, yes, you know. Yes, sharing. But you, but yet, you know, like, but teaching in a way. Not yet. I'm so sorry. But teaching it in a way, you know, like.
I don't think I am good enough. We don't try to teach. We try to share. And I think what it is like when you see someone young and talented, you have to tell them that they are talented.
Yeah.
But making them understand, don't just take it for granted. Just don't think I'm entitled. There is no entitlement. Mm. We have been in the business so long and you look at us and say, oh God, you guys are the successful, legendary, la, 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 la. But every day we learn.
Yes.
We find things to learn. We don't just sit back and go, well, you know, bow down to it. No. And right. I want them to already begin their incredible journey. Understanding is like, as long as you are grounded, you will fly to a lot of places, but you will always feel the earth. But can you imagine if you fly and you don't know where to land? It's a long way down.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear you acknowledge, you know, people coming to you with this verbiage reference. Of legend, like, you know, and even the movie is aware of that because when you need to acquire the skill of martial arts, you know, there's a funny montage that cuts to essentially B-roll of your life and it does inform that. But I wonder, like, what has it been that has kept you grounded and kept that mindset? I mean, you've worked with some incredible legendary people. I was looking at the list of directors you've worked with. I mean, Ang Lee, Rob Marshall, you know, upcoming Danny James Moore. Cameron. I mean, like, and I'm going to be asking about that. But I
you
I
can
just,
ask away.
I bet. Oh. I'm sure I can ask and you will give me nothing.
You will just
the
nod.
The snipers are on you right now. But is it that? Is it the people you've worked with that have kept that instilled in you? What has anchored you?
My family and friends, my real friends, you know, it's like, I remember at the beginning, very start, and someone says, you have to remember, every time, don't let every flash bulb like make you go, always appreciate your opportunities that you are given. Love what you do, because the day that you don't love to do it, that means maybe it's time to move on to something else that you find joy in. And yes, when you meet, it's very interesting. The more successful they really are, the more grounded they are.
Yeah.
They are not taken back by the BS of, you know, glitz and whatever it is. Yes, we love that. You know, when we walk down the red carpet and all this, because this is part and parcel of the allure,
yeah,
the magic,
sure,
of the movies or, you know, TV. And that gives our audience, our fans, that, isn't that great? Yes, it's part of the whole thing. I mean, you don't really want to see your stars coming out in their sweatpants and go like, yeah, whatever, you know?
Right? You want the glam factor. Yeah.
Yes. And for a night or two to dress up and have fun and, you know, look fabulous, why not? It's, mm-hmm, it's nice. It's fun. But do I want to do it every night? No, absolutely not.
No, no.
But I think what it is like your real friends, your family, and some, a lot of times you make real friends in this world as well, right? Mm-hmm. They ground you because they remind you of who you are. You're not some character in a movie or a TV series. You are who you are, and you should never ever forget that. And be present, you know, appreciate what you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that really grounds me.
Wow, thank you. I mean, just going back to your script being tagged in all these ways, I mean, how did you develop the sense of, for lack of a better word, I'm using this word again, development? Like, because I feel like it's always so finely tuned that you always match the tone of the project. But then this is just so, you know, to go from like Wild West Hong Kong, beginning of Hong Kong cinema days where like no scripts, you just go in, they tell you what to say on the day and then you do it. Where, you know, you don't have to think about it, like, you know, on those sort of macro conceptual terms. But now I could hear you talk forever about the way you prepared for this role. Like, what was the process like for, what was your journey like to sort of get that instinct?
It's learning along the way. It's like from no scripts and learning to shoot from the hip. You're like going, like, okay, whatever is thrown at me. I mean, when we started, we don't have time for rehearsals. We have no rehearsals. You get there, you get on the set, you're all dressed in your costume, and they will choreograph the action sequence. You learn it, you shoot it, and you do something else. And like you say, sometimes the lines are not given, and you're going like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, yeah. Many times. And then finally, when you see the final cut of the movie, oh, that is what's going on in that.
Yeah.
Because they edit and they film so fast. I mean, for the longest of time, even Jackie Chan, we didn't dub our own movies.
Right.
Right? Somebody else did it for us.
Yes,
yes. It was only from when I did The Song Sisters, that was the first time I actually, it was recorded.
Right.
On the set. Prior to that, never. Because, you know, we didn't have that kind of technology, it wasn't done, and it was much faster, easier after they edit and get someone to do it. As, you know, simultaneous while we're filming, they're editing there, someone is recording it. So that process didn't really come into play because there was none of that
time for it. Yeah, yeah.
But what you did learn was that you watched and you listened, and it was like I was very fortunate to work with some of the best actors in Hong Kong as well. So I watched how they did it. It was like, I was fascinated. How the hell do you cry on like...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? Where is that coming from?
Yes.
Right? And I think that's the time when you're young and you have to be like, I am a ding dong. I have no, I am learning. And if I am so proud and say, then you learn nothing. I would go to like Jeannie Yip and say, please teach me.
Wow. Right?
And, you know, then you work with like Jiang Wen or, you know, all the amazing Maggie Cheung. And
Oh my God.
We were best friends. But, you know, I'm not afraid to ask my best friend. I have no clue what I'm doing. Okay, maybe I can do martial arts better than you. But when it comes to the performances, you guys and Maggie is like an award-winning actress.
Yeah. Right?
Is to have a conversation with her and like, so tell me, how do you do this? But I must say, it's also the director starting with, you know, with Tomorrow That Never Dies really was my first international.
Sure.
And we have a Bond girl in the Zoom, everyone, okay? Have some respect here. This is our first Bond girl ever on Las Culturistas. It's a huge moment.
And I remember Roger Spottiswoode turning to me and he says, you know, I can double you when it comes to the action. We don't need the martial artist or whatever it is. You are here because you demonstrated in your auditions that you can carry the role of playing Wei Lin. Mm-hmm. We don't need someone who can fight. Because I can't double you when it comes to the emotion. Acting part.
Yeah.
The emotional side, right? So that's where you learn that how you have to be invested in the character. And every director gives you something. Aang taught me tremendously about giving the character a full background.
Yeah. That's very clear. When we watched the film again last night, Crouching Tiger, in preparation for this. And even when you first come in and you see Chow Yun-fat for the first time, there is so much history on your face.
Oh my God.
And it is very lived in. He's obviously an incredible director. So
yes.
No surprises.
So because I've had the privilege of working with like Danny Boyle, like Rob Marshall, and all these kind of people, it's a learning process. But if you are ding-dong enough not to open your heart and mind to that, then you've lost great opportunities to learn. And yes. So, you know, you gather all these kind of things and you learn how important the script is, how important the director is, how important your co-stars are because you know that making a movie or a TV series is not a one-person thing. It's collaboration on all the different levels and all the people behind the scenes.
Yes.
That you know, the crew, whether it's the gaffer, the DP, you know, the set designer, the costume designer, your hair and makeup, they help. They're the accessories that make this character, that help you build this character and make her real, make her really, really, like you say, have a life and walk.
And I just, because I know you're not going to be able to tell us anything about the plot of the Avatar sequels, which you are in. this is the question I will ask you. What did you learn working with James Cameron on these films? If that's something you can answer.
He's a frigging genius.
Yeah.
He is so creative. He multitasks like madness. He's a writer. He's the creator. He dreams of all these universes that we can't even begin to fathom. The one thing I said to him, can't you turn me blue? I don't want to. I'm like, oh, please. I mean, so I also learned that he is also very resolute in his decisions.
Yeah, he seems to be a capital D director. Yeah.
You know what it is? You have to be.
Yeah.
That's how you have to be.
It's how you lead.
It's a discipline. Yeah.
It is. It's a determination, the discipline, you know, you have to be the doer. You have to be the one that says, yes, no, imagine I have to visualize this. I have to fight for what I believe in. And it starts with the director, like here in the Daniels cases, with them. So.
Oh my God. Before I forget, you mentioning Maggie Cheung, I just think it's incredible. It's an incredible, everything all everywhere all at once. It's incredible for movie lovers just because you can't believe you're watching like snippets of a Wong Kar Wai film. Like you doing Maggie Cheung, you know,
and Ki Hui doing Tony Leung.
Yeah. I was gonna say Ki Hui's doing Tony Leung. Like it's just so incredible. And I just think back to you in this movie, like for any actor, this would be so it's steeping yourself in so much work on a technical level.
Masterclass.
You know, obviously. It's just a masterclass. So, Michelle, I'm just congratulations.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get
Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went four more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Hey, Las Culturistas listeners. We're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
We do a thing on the podcast where we brought this up to you at the top, and I know you can answer it. We asked the question, what was the culture that made you say culture was for you? And I just want to know, what was it when you can think back to your childhood or maybe when you were, you know, a teenager? How did you decide to go along this path of becoming you? Like, what was that thing you saw or received from the universe that made you say, I'm going to do this?
Okay. As a child, I think I was very open to the world of music, dance. And my mom used to say, you know, you could dance before you walked. And so, but I think I never dreamt that I would be an actress. I did not have that dream. I was always like the ballet. So watching ballets and, you know, seeing these ethereal creatures on the stage. But one thing that always fascinated me was the cinema. Mm. My mom was an avid cinema goer. So even as a small child, we would go as a family to watch all these, like whether it was Indian movies, comedies, love stories, Dracula. Can you imagine? And my dad was like the nature lover. So documentaries, Tarzan, Ben-Hur.
Oh,
but that feeling of the magic of cinema sitting there. And I still see myself, you know, like,
watching
like The Sound of Music, Wizard of Oz. It was like all the things that I love into that. But I did not understand at that point the magic of cinema, you know, telling a story through cinema. It was just enjoying it and taking in that whole experience. Did it lead me to this? I think when I was given the opportunity to join it, when I went to Hong Kong to do the commercial, the watch commercial with Jackie Chan, and I was given the opportunity to partake in this world, and you go like, oh my God, I remember the magic of it.
Yeah.
And maybe I can be part of that. Maybe that was the culture thing that drew me in. And I had to say,
it sounds like it was.
Yeah, right? So I said, yes. And today I still recognize that as a fact. And I think when we went to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once in South by Southwest, and I think for so many people, it was the first time they'd gone to the cinemas in 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think these last 2 years has been such an impact on people's lives in so many different levels. And, you know, with our industry on how it's been, you know, touch and go and opening up more like streaming and different platforms for creative people, which is good. And sometimes you will, please don't just rush into it and churn it all out, because good things does take time. And time is something like we feel that we're always like, oh, come on, I need more of. But sitting in that cinema and watching not just our love on there, but sharing that experience, it was
with everybody. Oh,
yeah, wow. That was like when you hear them laugh and you go like, they actually find me funny. You were like,
You know what's funny?
You were so funny.
And you were talking about how it's that communal experience. The first time I saw it, I did go by myself, but it was in a packed theater. And during the end of the movie, I truly cried during the last 30 minutes. And I looked over at the guy next to me and we were having the same experience. And it was really fun because even though I didn't know him, it was that community.
Connection, right?
It was community and connection. And I don't know anything about him. You know, I don't know anything about his life. I don't know anything about the woman he was sitting next to, but we knew that we were receiving the same messages and we were internalizing them, and maybe it meant something different to him when he was thinking about his relationships in relation to the movie than it was for me, but we were both moved. And when I went back with my friends last night, it was the same situation where I was just excited to share it. And so I would say to everyone listening, if you've been hesitant about going to the movies, now is the time. Put the mask on if it's going to make you feel better. Go. I mean, it's just, it's a movie that, especially, you know, in the sequences where your reality is breaking and they have those incredible montages, and kudos to the editor, just watching that in the theater, it was breathtaking. It was just simply breathtaking.
Nicely put. Well done.
And with our last 5 minutes with you, we are going to do I Don't Think So, Honey. So this, Michelle, is our 1 minute segment on Las Culturistas, this very podcast where we take something in pop culture or in our lives that are bothering us and we do a rant for 1 minute about it, using the phrase, I don't think so, honey.
Who's making the demonstration first?
You're going to get two.
One from Matt, one from me, and then you'll be all set to go. So for now, let's have Matt Rogers go. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Stephanie Hsu as a texter. Girl, it takes you a day to get back to me. And I know you can text your old girl from college back sooner than that. And I know you're on a worldwide press tour, mama. I know all of a sudden we're at international film star suddenly and about to pop all the way off into another stratosphere. But you can text me back because you, listen, we have a soul connection, Stephanie Hsu. And I remember when you were Florge as a sketch character in college. This is just for me and you right now and people in Hammercats.
30 seconds.
But I remember all the trips we took. I've seen you get drunk on college campuses, girl. I have photos of you you do not want released. So text me back within 18 hours. Let's say I'll give you a day. Text me back within 18. You always get back and it's always very
seconds.
Warm and happy. Don't forget about Matt Rogers, me. We used to have lunch in Downstein. We shared emotional connections. Stephanie Hsu as a texter, I don't think so, honey. Stephanie Hsu as a person, I do think so, honey. You're the most lovely person in the world and I can't wait to hug you and squeeze you.
We love you. That's 1 minute.
This is crazy. Wow.
Are we gonna be the project that scares Michelle Yeoh after she's done so much?
The project that Michelle Yeoh walks away from. I can see where you guys definitely went to the same college, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
can just do impromptu crazy rants just like that.
I mean, you should see. I mean, I think Stephanie Hsu, and I think I've been in more situations with Steph Hsu and Bowen Yang than I can remember. But anyway, I love Steph. I want to be texted back.
She's got a text back. She is very busy right now.
No. She did text me back.
And say, Stephanie, if you don't text him back, God knows what the next rant is going to be about.
She has always been a flaky texter. I will say that. Some people are not good at texting. Are you a good texter, Michelle?
No, I am the worst.
I've gotten worse.
Yeah, Bowen has gotten way worse, actually.
I'm sorry.
And again, it's when they get famous, I'm telling you.
No.
We have other things to do. I'm not going to say important things to do, but...
Yeah, you know. Other.
Other. All right, Bowen Yang, are you ready to do your I Don't Think So, Honey?
I'm ready.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, A Love Before Time by Coco Lee and the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movie, not winning Best Original Song at the Oscars in 2000.
Wow.
Can I tell you, can you guess which song won that year? I bet you can.
Was it 2000?
It was 2000. It was Things Have Changed by Bob Dylan from Wonder Boys.
No thanks.
Who cares? All due respect to Bob Dylan. We love Bob Dylan on this podcast. But A Love Before Time is one of the most iconic Mandarin to English translations international hits.
30 seconds.
Can you think of an international hit from that time? Like for a movie to cross over that way and for the song to be nominated for the Oscar and to impact nations, communities all around the world and to not receive its due is abominable to me.
15 seconds.
That song is auditory memory to me. It's sense memory to me. When I think about Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, I think about Michelle, I think about Chow Yun-Fat, I think about Zhang Ziyi, I think about everybody, but that song deserves more.
Five seconds.
I can't believe we as a culture have forgotten about A Love Before Time by Coco Lee. That's 1 minute.
And that's 1 minute. Wow. Absolutely correct, Bo. Look that at the show right now. She is floored.
Michelle, you can do it.
You can do it. I know there's something in pop culture that grinds your gears.
Can you bring me a bottle of whiskey, please?
Yes, whatever helps. Well, you do it for as long as you want. It won't be the full minute, but something that's like on your mind, maybe from this press tour, perhaps.
Okay, you know what? I think one thing that I would say is, I don't think so, honey.
Here we go.
You can't put your phone down and have dinner with your most adorable cuckoo and all of you are still on the frigging phone. What are you texting? Someone on the table that's next to you and you can't have a real conversation? And when we go to the cinemas, you frigging put your phone down, switch it off, and don't try and receive messages in the middle of a movie when your lights are so bright and you're taking me away from this amazing movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once. And if you don't look at it and watch your phone for 2 seconds,
30 seconds,
you can't grip on what is happening. So I don't think so, honey, that you can put your phone down. You have to put your phone down because you want to have a gorgeous dinner with your adorable godmother or auntie or whatever it is. And you
50 seconds.
Put your phone down. And if you're in the cinemas, if I see you one more time, I don't think so, honey, you're going to get away with it because I'm slap the hell out of you.
5 seconds.
Bring that phone and eat you, okay? I love you.
And that's 1 minute. Michelle, you really buried the lead on that one. You were great.
That was perfect.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe I did that.
You know, the Alamo Draft House where I saw the first time I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. They make it funny too. Like they're like, seriously put the phone away. And you do. But it's crazy that we have to get to this point where we're like threatening the audience.
Yeah.
Because they really can't put the phone down.
No, it's so crazy. And then they answer the phone. It's like, yeah, I'm watching a movie. Okay. I'm in the cinema. Okay. I'll call you back. Yeah. I'm in the cinema watching a movie. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, I know.
You're not watching the movie anymore if you're on the phone.
Exactly.
Wow, this was so, so special. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Michelle. We know you have a busy day.
Thank you, both of you.
And the movie is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And luckily for you, it's now playing nationwide, everyone. Lucky audiences everywhere. And you have to go. You have to go. You're going to be moved by it. You're going to be surprised by it. You will laugh, scream, cry, feel all the emotions. And isn't that why we go?
Yeah.
It's why we go. Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you,
Bowen. Thank you, Matt. It was a real pleasure talking to both of you. Thank you for taking the time.
Of course.
Well, there it was. Yeah, just really fantastic. I won't get over this. This is a highlight of my year, of my life.
You texted me right after Cloud 9.
Cloud 9. Cloud 9, and thank you for bearing with this structurally different kind of episode. You know, this opportunity to talk to her came in a little last minute, and we were like, "Yes, we've got to make it work no matter what."
I mean, come on. I
texted people, like, you know, producers at work. I was like, "I need this hour blocked off."
Yeah,
it's a very important thing that I have to do, so please don't schedule anything around it. I've never pulled that before. I was like, "You need to like leave this open." So, completely worth it, I think.
Yeah, this is amazing. And we only jumped on because we want to give the readers a full episode We jammed in the culture question. We jammed in I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yeah.
And we're going to jam in the fact that we finish every episode with a song.
Great.
I would still find my way by the light I see in your eyes. The world I know fades away before tired.
It's an amazing
Woo!
Song.
I love that. Before tired. That was good.
Listen to it. It's like an R&B song mixed with like a traditional Chinese like Gujang bop. Like it's
Bowen got quiet, song. Han says, and I agree. He did get quiet.
Wait, really? Like my gain is off?
Yeah, something happened. I thought you did it on purpose.
No.
Did you touch the mic, Hans is saying?
I don't think so. How's it now? Is it
That's
better?
That's better, yeah.
Okay.
I think you have to sing it again.
Really? It got quiet in the song?
Very.
Okay.
And we're keeping this whole thing. You have to sing it again.
I would still find my way by the light.
By the light.
See in your eyes. Ooh. The world I know fades away before time. I butchered the last little melody, but
I think it was one of the most stunning vocal performances of the decade. I think
Coco Lee. Her name is Coco Lee. Can you think of a better pop star name?
I can't. And I know names like Camila Cabello. And I still think this name is better.
Thank you. Well, goodbye.
Bye.
To hear the rest of that song, listen to A Love Before Time by Coco Lee on the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon soundtrack.
I'm putting it on a checklist for today. Bye.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.